Good day, everybody. Nice of you to choose us out here in the podcastosphere. This is John Shomo. This is episode 26 of Then and Now. And we're going to adjust the schedule, the release schedule, I guess, a little bit. That's the first thing I need to talk about today. We're going to shift to probably putting the podcast out on Monday mornings, instead of what I've been doing, which is Wednesdays. So we're going to shorten the events and anniversaries and birthdays segment somewhat today to fit that time frame. One of the reasons that I'm doing that is that we're going to do a special or a separate podcast, if you will, starting this coming week during the college football season, which starts this coming Saturday, the 24th of August. And I wanted to have a little bit of space between the Then and Now release and the release of the new college football podcast. So long story short, look for Then and Now starting on Monday mornings from here on out. Also, we released a special episode, an interview with Mike Shadawa, track coach, teacher, friend at Talmadge High School that some of you know very well. That's out already, so you can look for that special edition of Then and Now. So with that, let's get into it. We will do the anniversaries, birthdays, and events from August 21st through 25th today to fit the new schedule. So let's get going. For August 21st, Hawaii became the 50th state officially on August 21st, 1959. We have gone now longer than ever before in American history without adding a state to the Union. It's been now 65 years since we added a state. That's never happened before. We'll see what happens. It would take a Democratic Senate and House and a Democratic president to add a state. I think the first two candidates would be, in no particular order, Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. But again, we have to wait and see on election results and so forth. So happy anniversary, Hawaii. On August 21st, 1968, the Democratic National Convention opened their week-long trek in Chicago. That didn't end very well for the Democrats, nor did it end well for the city of Chicago. Birthdays on August 21st, three really prominent names in sports. The first is Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt Chamberlain, born August 21st, 1936. He's a guy that we often forget when we start having these conversations about the greatest basketball player of all time. We're going to have one later in our question segment. But Wilt Chamberlain was maybe the most freakishly great athlete that ever walked on a basketball court. He scored 100 points in a game in 1962. He averaged 50 points a game that year. He averaged more than 48 minutes a game in a 48-minute game league, the NBA. He was just unbelievable, and we often kind of slight him, I think, and we shouldn't. So happy birthday, the late Wilt Chamberlain. Archie Griffin will be 70 on August 21st. Archie Griffin's having a pretty big week here. He has been asked by the sousaphone players in the Ohio State University marching band if he would dot the I on August 31st in their home opener, in the Buckeyes' home opener against Akron. And Archie very graciously said he would do that. That's a very rare honor for a non-band member. There are only about 10 or so people that have ever been asked to do that, and certainly Archie Griffin is worthy. He's the only two-time Heisman Trophy winner. He won it both his junior and senior years, 1974 and 75, at Ohio State. He played in four Rose Bowls. They unveiled a statue in front of the Rose Bowl on this past Saturday, commemorating Archie Griffin as the first player ever to play in four Rose Bowl games. They are going to unveil a statue of Archie Griffin at the Horseshoe. I don't know whether it's at the Akron game or one of the later games this year. It will be in the rotunda on the north end of the stadium. If anybody ever deserved it, it's Archie Griffin. Woody Hayes once said of Archie Griffin, who Woody Hayes coached Archie Griffin at Ohio State, by the way, that Archie Griffin is, and I'm trying to remember the quote perfectly here, he's a better man than he is a football player, and he's the greatest football player I ever coached. That's saying a lot. So happy 70th, Archie. The great Usain Bolt will be 38 The Jamaican sprinter who just obliterated the record book earlier in this century. Happy birthday to Usain Bolt. He's 38. We'll go to August 22nd. General Norman Schwarzkopf, leader, commander of Operation Desert Storm, the war to take back Kuwait and ultimately Iraq. Norman Schwarzkopf, born 90 years ago on August 22nd, 1934, the late General Norman Schwarzkopf. Stormin' Norman, as he was known. Other birthdays on August 22nd. Carl Yastrzemski turns 85. And I saw him play. That makes me feel really old. Carl Yastrzemski, left fielder for the Boston Red Sox from 1961 through the mid-1980s. He had a tremendously long and successful career. Gold Glover out there, 3,000-plus hits. Did it all. Carl Yastrzemski, his grandson now plays in the major leagues. Mike Yastrzemski for the San Francisco Giants. Coach Bill Parcells, most known for his time in New York with the Giants, will be 83. He also coached a handful of other teams in the pros, the Patriots, the Jets, the Cowboys. So happy birthday to Coach Parcells, won a couple Super Bowls. Hall of Famer, third baseman, second baseman, utility player sometimes, Paul Molitor. Spent a lot of his career with the Milwaukee Brewers. Later on, went to his hometown Minnesota Twins and won a World Series with them. And then the Blue Jays. Paul Molitor, 68, on August 22nd. And Dua Lipa will be 29, oh so young, on August 22nd. Moving to August 23rd, Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin, leaders of Germany and the Soviet Union, respectfully, signed a non-aggression pact on August 23rd, 1939, which meant they were not going to take arms against each other, which meant it was curtains for Poland, who sat in the middle between the two nations. And less than 2 weeks later, Germany invaded Poland. Stalin did nothing. And World War II was on. The single She Loves You by the Beatles was released in Great Britain on August 23rd, 1963. That became kind of the hit single, along with I Want to Hold Your Hand, that knocked them over the top for good in terms of record sales and popularity. Roberto Clemente recorded his second straight five-hit game at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles on August 23rd, 1970. A, he did it against the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium, not exactly a hitter's ballpark. B, two straight five-hit games. That's pretty rare. I don't know how rare. I didn't look it up, but it's pretty darn rare, and he was a pretty darn rare ball player. King Louis XVI of France, born August 23rd, 1754. He eventually lost his head, pun intended. Actress Barbara Eden. Those of us of a certain age remember her as Jeannie in I Dream of Jeannie. She did a lot of other things in her acting career. Barbara Eden will be 90 on August 23rd. Yikes. Shelley Long, the bartender in Cheers originally. Shelley Long will be 75 on August 23rd. Cheers, great show. Watch the reruns if you have a chance. And the late Kobe Bryant, born August 23rd, 1978. Just a terribly sad day there a few years ago when we found out that Kobe and his daughter and some other folks, unfortunately, had perished in a helicopter accident out in Los Angeles. It's terrible to hear that news. Okay, August 24th, British troops captured our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., during the so-called War of 1812 on August 24th, 1814. The famous story is that Dolly Madison preserved the huge painting of George Washington in the East Room of the White House, and they carried out with them, fleeing the White House, a bunch of other very delicate and important things. Thomas Edison, Ohio-born, got a patent for the motion picture camera, on August 24th, 1891. Cleveland Indians Hall of Famer Bob Feller returned from the Navy, in which he had served 3.5 years during World War II, and in his first start back since the 1941 season, on August 24th, 1945, he struck out 12 batters in his reintroduction to Major League Baseball. Hadn't lost much, had he? NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, went into effect August 24th, 1949. It's still in effect, thank goodness. It now counts over 30 nations as members, I believe. And NATO is the alliance that basically has kept Ukraine afloat these past couple of years. Two-time Super Bowl winning coach for the Denver Broncos, Mike Shanahan, will be 72 on August 24th. Hall of Famer, shortstop, third baseman for the Baltimore Orioles, Cal Ripken Jr., will be 64 on August 24th. Holds the record, as many of you know, for consecutive games played. Broke Lou Gehrig's record back in the 1990s. Actress Marlee Matlin will be 59. I was just watching some West Wings, some old West Wings earlier today that Marlee Matlin was in, playing the political consultant Joey Lucas. Happy birthday to Marlee Matlin, the first legally deaf person to win an Oscar, by the way. Also celebrating a 59th birthday on August 24th will be Reggie Miller, the great sharpshooter from the UCLA Bruins and the Indiana Pacers, now a TV commentator on basketball. Happy birthday to Reggie Miller. Boy, could he shoot it. And Dave Chappelle will be 51 on August 24th. Finally, for this week, we'll do August 25th here. August 25th, 1970, a young British singer, piano player, composer named Elton John made his first U.S. appearance. It was at the Troubadour in West Hollywood, California, August 25th, 1970. The rest, as they say, is music history. Speaking of music history, Bruce Springsteen's album Born to Run was released August 25th, 1975. It rocketed him to fame, first of all, in Cleveland and in his native New Jersey, New York City area. But Born to Run got him attention everywhere else. He was big here almost first, other than his hometown. Sean Connery, the man who really made James Bond the movie character that he was. Sean Connery played it better than anyone else. Sean Connery, now deceased, born August 25th, 1930. Hall of Fame relief pitcher with the big handlebar mustache, Raleigh Fingers, will be 78. Gene Simmons of Kiss will be 75. That one's for Mr. Swindell. Albert Bell, former Cleveland Indians left fielder, a controversial guy during his career. Albert Bell will be 58 on August 25th. And Hall of Fame wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts, Marvin Harrison Sr., will be 52 on August 25th. His son, Marvin Harrison Jr., just left Ohio State after a fantastic career there and will be playing for the Arizona Cardinals this fall. So happy birthday, Marv Sr. All right, we'll stop there for the anniversaries and birthdays this week. We'll get back to doing a week's full next edition. All right, let's start with the topics today with the upcoming and probably as you listen, ongoing Democratic National Convention. It begins Monday, August 19th at the United Center and McCormick Place. They're going to have events at both places in Chicago. The United Center, of course, home to the Bulls and Blackhawks. It will run through Thursday, August 22nd. They have a star-studded lineup. It seems like Uncle Mo, as we say in sports, momentum is on their side right now. Momentum can be fickle, so, you know, watch out. But seems like they've got it right now. Can they take advantage of that and have a successful convention? Well, we'll see. A note here, a historical note, this is the 26th time either the Republicans or the Democrats have held their convention, their national convention in Chicago. The first time was the Republican National Convention in 1860, that's the one that nominated Illinois' own Abraham Lincoln. They were off to a good start there, weren't they? And I looked it up, being the statistics buff that I am. Of the 25 previous conventions held in Chicago, the candidate nominated at those conventions went on to win 14 times. In other words, they have a 14-11 record. Plus, the Bull Moose Party convention was held there in 1912, the Progressive Party, the Bull Moose Party, as it became known, because their nominee was Teddy Roosevelt. He did not win the election of 1912. So if you want to throw that in there, they're 14-12. So we'll see if the Democrats can improve in the win column for Chicago-held conventions. We'll see. They've got momentum. It's their job to keep it now. Number two. This one really got under my skin, and I don't want to get into political issues per se, but former President Trump made a comment the other night about the Congressional Medal of Honor that kind of made me boil. He had presented, while he was president, a woman by the name of Miriam Adelson, the presidential Medal of Freedom, which is given to a variety of people, sometimes celebrities, athletes, etc. Miriam Adelson got that award from then President Trump because she and her husband, the late Sheldon Adelson, billionaires, had donated oodles and oodles of money to President Trump's political fortunes. And that's what got her the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Okay, fine and dandy. If that's what he wants to do with it, that's fine. In his comments the other night, however, he said that in a lot of ways, the Presidential Medal of Freedom was greater than the Congressional Medal of Honor. Let's remember who gets the Congressional Medal of Honor. The Congressional Medal of Honor is given to men and women in uniform who perform superhuman, often self-sacrificing actions in combat. Many of them did not live to receive the award. Some did. Trump's comment was Presidential Medal of Freedom that he had given Miriam Adelson was greater than the Congressional Medal of Honor in many ways because, as he said, quote, they're either in very bad shape because they've been hit so many times by bullets or they're dead. Speaking of Congressional Medal of Honor winners, my head kind of snapped when I heard that. And there's some reasons. My uncles on both sides served during World War II, most of them, those that were of any kind of age to serve. One of them did not make it home, my Uncle Sammy. But one of our relatives, and I never knew him, obviously a lot older than me, is a honoree of the Congressional Medal of Honor. His name was Army Air Corps Colonel William A. Shomo. And I just wanted to lay out what he did. On January 11th, 1945, over the Philippines, he and his wingman, two American pilots, ran into 13 Japanese aircraft in formation. There was a dogfight. Colonel Shomo destroyed 7 Japanese aircraft in a 15-minute span. His wingman shot down 3. And the other 3 Japanese pilots fled into a cloud bank to escape. For those actions, Colonel Shomo was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor in early April of 1945. He lived until 1990. That's part of the Shomo family that lives up or that has lived up near Pittsburgh for a long time. When I heard the comments from the former president on the relative merits of the one or medal versus the other, it kind of got under my skin a little bit. I better shut up now. All right. Point number three, before we get into some questions here, high school sports have started all over the country here in Northeast Ohio for sure. High school football in our area starts this coming Friday. With real games, Friday the 23rd. They've had their scrimmages and so forth, two-a-days. So good luck to, first of all, the Talmadge Blue Devils. And here's hoping for a healthy season for all the players in Northeast Ohio. There's great football played in this part of the country, as most of you know. And let's have a healthy and successful fall season. I want to mention, too, the volleyball, soccer boys and girls, cross-country boys and girls, golf for boys and girls, all are going on as well as we speak. Good luck and best wishes to all of those young athletes. Golf in particularly, a soft spot in my heart, having been a golf coach for a long time. So everybody stay healthy and have a great season. Okay, before we get to a couple of questions for this week, it's a short week, so we're only going to have 2 good questions this week, but I want to answer last week's question that has gone unanswered. The question was, how many sitting vice presidents have been elected president? That's relevant, obviously, this year because Kamala Harris is the sitting vice president. The answer is 4. And here they are in order. The first sitting VP to be elected president was the first vice president, John Adams, in 1796. The second was the second vice president, Thomas Jefferson, in 1800. The third sitting VP to be elected was Martin Van Buren in 1836. And then you got to go a long time before you find the fourth one. The fourth one was George Herbert Walker Bush, Senior Bush, in 1988. So those are your four sitting vice presidents to have been elected president of the United States. The one kind of interesting factoid about that is when they have the joint session of Congress on January 6th to, you know, accept the results of the election, the vice president is the officer as president of the Senate who gets to announce those things. So George Bush got to announce his own election in front of that joint session. We'll see if Vice President Harris gets to do the same. Okay, so that's last week's question. We cleaned that one up. A couple of good questions this week. One coming from frequent questioner and friend of the show, Jeff Cole. What are the three most popular sports in the world based on total fans? In other words, people who say they're fans mostly of one sport or another. What are the three most popular sports in the world based on total fans? We'll hold back the answer until our next episode. Okay. The second one, this is really thought-provoking, and it's where Wilt Chamberlain might get mentioned at least. Comes from former teacher, principal, golfing buddy of mine, Harry Jordan. And I'll quote him on the question before I give my thoughts. Here's the question. I contend, this is Harry speaking, that LeBron James, after he led the United States to the gold medal in Paris at age 39, has moved ahead of Michael Jordan as the greatest basketball player of all time. His passing, rebounding, and unsurpassed ability to unite his teammates and lead them to victory has made him the GOAT. Your thoughts? Harry, that's a great question. It's really thought-provoking. My wife and I were even going back and forth on that yesterday morning when we got the question, kind of writing down a checklist and pluses and minuses of each guy. I have considered Michael Jordan as the greatest player for the last 25 years, probably at least. LeBron may have done it this time. He's won four NBA titles with three different franchises. The one thing you can say for Jordan and those guys of that era is that they didn't go shopping around for teams. They tried to convince other guys to come play with them, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, etc. But as an all-around player, it's hard to argue, really. He's the leading scorer of all time. His passing ability is fantastic. It was fantastic in high school. It still is. His ability to rebound, get out and run the floor at the age of 39, as we saw in Paris, is still unique. And he has been a leader. Unfortunately, he's on kind of a lousy team. Not unfortunately for me as a Celtics fan. He's kind of on a lousy team out there in L.A. I still don't know if I want to go ahead of Jordan, but I got to maybe put him as 1 and 1A. LeBron has just obviously had a out-of-this-world career. But it's amazing, speaking before of Wilt Chamberlain, it's amazing how many guys we just kind of move down the list as we go along. Wilt Chamberlain was completely unbelievably dominant when he played. The one guy he couldn't beat was Bill Russell. How can we not mention Bill Russell, winner of 11 NBA titles in 13 years, the last two as, oh, by the way, player coach of the Boston Celtics? Other guys, I mentioned Magic and Larry. Magic and Larry ought to go in as an entry. They saved the National Basketball Association. For those of you that are a lot younger than me, in the late 1970s, NBA arenas were mostly empty. A lot of players had drug issues. The game was so unpopular, and you're not going to, young folks aren't going to believe this. The game was so unpopular that the NBA finals, unless you lived in one of the two cities of the teams that were playing, was put on tape delay on CBS after your local news. In other words, they didn't even televise the NBA finals live because they were afraid it would get such bad ratings. It's hard to imagine that today, but that was the truth. And then in 1979, Indiana State played Michigan State in the NCAA final game. Irvin Magic Johnson's Spartans defeated Larry Bird's Sycamores. That game is still the highest rated college basketball championship game of all time on television. And when they joined the NBA, whether the NBA engineered it or not, I'm not sure. But Magic Johnson gets drafted by the Lakers, and Larry Bird gets drafted by Red Auerbach and the Boston Celtics, the two flagship, most historic, most traditional franchises in the NBA. And the NBA's popularity shot up at that point and has really not ebbed since then. So, you know, where do Larry and Magic fit on the greatest players ever? Boy, you know, they got to be in the top 10. We totally shun guys like Jerry West, the late, great Jerry West now, or Oscar Robertson, who was one of the most complete players in basketball history. But, you know, still, I got to think that it's LeBron and Michael in some order there. And I'm not ready to put one over another, but I'm putting LeBron equal at least right now. So, Harry, that's a great question. We'll probably talk about it more at golf this week. thanks for the question. And that really made us think here at the Shomo household, at least. So there you go. We got two good questions. It's a short week, though, for then and now. So we'll we'll live with that. Check out the special episode, Mike Shadawa interview. It's out there now on Spotify, where you get your podcast. And we're going to starting later this week, a weekly podcast dealing just with the sport of college football, because otherwise I'd talk about it for way too long on then and now. So look for that starting this Thursday or Friday. It depends on when I get it done and get it out. All right. Well, thanks as always for checking us out and for choosing us. This is John Shomo. This is Then and Now, episode 26. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, everybody.